last week. There's a reason why people have money problems, and we'll look into the Holy Scriptures here, just see what God says about it. But at the outset here, I would like to inform you that I am not an economist. I am not a financier. I am not a big-time investor. I'm not even an investor, really. To the best of my knowledge, I will say nothing this morning, purposely, about how to get rich, either quickly or slowly. That is not my place. I'm not here to tell you a financial success story, for I am not a financial success. And since I am not rich, who would listen to me anyway? But we have people in our church that earn low wages, and so I try to help. And we have people in our church that are better off than other people, and so I try to instruct. My purpose for teaching personal finances to our church is to help our people become solvent. Would you turn on that and put on that first transparency there? Thank you, brother. Maybe you can lift it up a little, Brother Bennett, when you get there. Okay. That's solvent. Can you move it over to the exit light a little too, so I can see it up and over to the exit light? There you go. Over to the exit light. There you go. Thank you. Solvent. Able to pay all one's debts or meet all financial responsibilities. Now, believe it or not, this is the will of God for your life. For you to be solvent is the will of God for your life. To be in debt is not the will of God for your life. To owe anybody anything is not the will of God for your life. It is God's will that you are out of debt. It is God's will that you are solvent. You cannot be happy in debt. Not spiritually happy. You're spiritually happy when you're out of debt. Now, didn't we read that last week in Deuteronomy chapter 28? We read about all the blessings of God. And one of the blessings of God is found in Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, the last part of the verse. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. A lot of people are worried about the American economy today, and they've got a right to be worried. She's not living according to the Bible. Okay. Verse 44, the list of curses has this included. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee. I don't know where you came from. I don't care where you came from, economically speaking. I'm coming from the Word of God today. God says it's a blessing to have money to borrow, to loan to somebody, and it's a curse to have to borrow. I don't know where the experts are coming from. I am coming from the Word of God. And I love the Word of God. And if you want to be blessed, get out of debt. And when you find somebody that's in trouble, you help them out of trouble, and God will bless you. God wants to bless His people. And I'm not talking about wealth and riches, because there are warnings in the Scripture against the rich, or for the rich to take heed to. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about being solvent. I'm talking about staying out of the devil's trap, which will destroy your spiritual life and your marriage probably. How many marriages are in trouble today over finances? Okay. Do you believe you can be solvent? I believe you can be solvent. Okay, the next one. Romans 13:8 says, Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything. I'm coming from the Bible. Owe no man anything. Don't borrow. Don't borrow. Don't go in debt. Now, there are a lot of technicalities that I'm not going to take the time to explain, because talking about how to handle your money and all those things, that's not my point. My point is how to get out of trouble, how to be solvent, how to live within your means, how to live within your income. Okay, owe no man anything. And then the verse goes on and says, but to love one another. You have to owe that debt, because that debt can never be paid. You will always be in debt to love one another, because he loved us. He said you ought to love one another. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Praise the Lord. Okay, the next one. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Being out of debt gives a person a good feeling, doesn't it? When you make that last payment on your car, doesn't that give you a good feeling? But you know what most of us do? We go right out and buy another car and start the payments up again. That's what we ought not to do. We ought to save up for another car. And while you're saving, if a poor man comes along, legitimately poor, not carelessly poor, not self-imposed poverty, but if a legitimately poor person comes along while you're saving up for your car, you forestall the purchase of that next car and you help your poor brother. Do you know why God lets some people get wealthy in the church? So they can help the less fortunate, not so they can hoard it. Not so they can pile it up and get more and more and more. Why? You know what's going to happen? Listen. A little extemporaneous here, but let it go. Tanberg, let it go. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and cared nothing about the poor. I added that for clarification. And fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now you can read between the lines here and know that this rich man did not care for that poor man, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. It doesn't say he even got any crumbs. He desired some crumbs from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. You see, we're all going to die one day. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. You can live your life any way you want to now, during your 70 more or less years on this earth. But after death comes the judgment. Even if you commit suicide to escape it all, even if you don't believe in God, you will be raised from the dead, and you will stand before the judge of all the earth, and you will give an account. And he will mete out the reward, punishment or glory. I feel sorry for people that don't believe in God. I feel sorry for people that don't have faith in the Word of God. I feel sorry for people that go to the grave thinking that that's the end. They died like an animal and their spirit went downward into the earth instead of upward unto God, who collects them. He's the Father of spirits, James tells us. Came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Do you know there are people that read this story and don't believe it? There are people in churches today that are tempted not to believe it. Do you believe it? It's the word of God. I believe it. But Abraham said, son, remember, you in your lifetime enjoyed the money that you hoarded up. You lived and fared sumptuously every day. And Lazarus didn't have anything, and you didn't give him anything. Now the tables are turned. He's in glory, enjoying every eon of it. And you're in hell, weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. This story is about money. Money. Listen to that. Why does God bless some people in the church? So they can bless other people. And when a man is doing that, he is doing the will of God. I am trying this morning to teach the church how to get out of debt and how to stay out of debt. And if you come back next Sunday, maybe we can finish this, or the next couple Sundays, and find out how to get out of debt and how to stay out of debt. Now, business ventures, that's something else. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the economist, the investor, the financier. I'm not in that at all. I'm not in that at all. My concern is that people are out of debt so that they don't have the devil tormenting them in that area. It's always better to live by the will of God than by the wisdom of this world. Some people think they outsmart God. I mean, I could roll on the floor laughing over that. They think they're going to outsmart God. They have found a loophole in the Word of God, and somehow they're going to get around it. They're going to get around God's Word, and they're going to have two wives. Or they're going to do it another way than God's way. Boy, I'll tell you, they're going to find out God was right, is right, will always be right. Let God be true and every man wrong, every man a liar. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I think we just read in our Bible reading time before church service, 1 Corinthians 7, Friday night, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and what verse was it? Oh, verse 23. He says, you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, it says here, the borrower is servant to the lender. And God says, don't be a servant to men. The borrower is servant to the lender. When you borrow money, you are disobeying the word of God. Borrow money that you don't need. The Bible doesn't say you can't borrow. If you read the whole Bible through, the Bible doesn't say you can't borrow. And I'm not talking about that area now. You've got to understand where I'm coming from. I'm talking about borrowing unnecessarily to satisfy the greeds and the lusts of the flesh. I want a better car, so I'm going to borrow money because I'm going to have it. I can't afford it, but I'm going to have it. I want a better house because the Joneses have a better house than I do. Did you know they were going to declare bankruptcy tomorrow? They were going to refinance next week? See? When we borrow to raise our lifestyle to satisfy the lusts and the greeds of our flesh, we are in opposition to the Word of God. Okay? Read it again. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, isn't that a form of bondage? Well, when we read in Deuteronomy 28, it certainly was. It certainly was. God wants to bless His church. You've heard me say this before. Let me repeat myself. God wants to bless His church. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God wants to bless His church. And how does God accomplish this? How does God bless His church? Okay. You are the church. He blesses the church by blessing you. Because this building is here because of your blessing. Because of your tithing. Because of your gifts and offerings. The fellowship hall is there because of your tithing, gifts, and offerings. This new room, offices, restrooms, and hallway out here are being built because God has blessed you so that you can tithe and give and offer to the Lord. That hallway we are planning to connect the two buildings with, and the future sanctuary, which will house more people, will be built out of God's blessing on you. How many understand that? Good for you. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to His church. You are the church. God's blessing His church when He blesses you. If you don't tithe, you're out of the will of God. You know, you're just hoarding it up for yourself. And what suffers? The kingdom of God, the work of God in the earth. You want God to bless you? You just obey His word and He will bless you. Now that's how He started Deuteronomy 28. See what He said? He said, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And in the Old Testament, Israel was a nation. In the New Testament, Israel is the church. That's right. Read it. Galatians 6. Israel, the old Israel, the Old Testament, the New Testament church is the old Israel. Really, I mean, the Bible says in Peter that we are a holy nation. Israel was that chosen nation in the Old Testament. Now the church is that chosen people, that holy nation. Okay? So He says, and on the all, because of our obedience, and that includes tithing, giving, taking care of the poor, helping the poor, offerings, and so on, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Can you see here, I'm running around doing the will of God, and God's blessings are chasing me. They're just going to catch up with me, and they're going to load me down. Like the Bible says, He loadeth us daily with benefits. Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Here, poor people, take a little of my money. Take a little of my wealth. Oh, I'm so blessed. He loadeth me daily with blessings. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 75:6, for promotion. What does that mean? You know what that means? That means a raise in pay. That means a better job. Promotion cometh neither from the university nor the technical institute nor the schools of higher learning. Let me read it straight from the scripture. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. It doesn't come from anywhere but from God. Verse 7 says, but God is the judge. You notice there? It says promotion cometh neither from the east, the west, nor from the south. What about the north? God is the judge. Promotion cometh from the Lord. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Promotion, 73:11, to get a raise, means to rise or raise, exalt, to be on high. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Lawrence D. Hancock, a Baptist layman, has given $480,000 to the Harrisburg Southern Baptist Church here, indicating it was a tithe of stock gained in the recent merger of his company. If 480,000 is a tithe, I don't know. That's a lot of income. 480,000 is the tithe? Hey, look at it. This man got this blessing and he tithed on it immediately. Immediately. $480,000. You heard about Letourneau? I heard the man speak here in Eau Claire in the 1940s at the First Baptist Church. And he told how that he had some ideas, he was a businessman, and nothing got off the ground. And then he decided that he would start tithing. He started tithing. He gave 10% of his income and his business took off. He gave it faithfully. His business took off. It started showing a profit. He was so blessed. He said, I'm going to give 20%. He gave 20% of his income. And his business expanded. How many have heard the name Letourneau? Heavy earth equipment and so on. I heard the man speak. And so he said, I'm going to give 30%. And his business kept expanding. He gave 40%. He said, I'm going to give 50. I better give 60, 70, 80. He gave 90% and lived on 10% luxuriously, you can be sure, and died leaving millions behind. Finally died in old age, which we're all going to do. Okay, now here's a man who gives $480,000 tithe. The donation is more than the entire church budget for 1 year, according to the pastor, and so on. And this is the second large gift by Mr. Hancock, age 56, who was born in a log cabin and now heads the Hancock Fabric Stores, which with outlets across the nation. Two years ago, he gave tithes of $350,000. To his church. His gift paid for the entire building. And then it goes on here, and I won't take the time, but he says here, it's an inspiring thing, the pastor said. It inspires me as much as anything I've ever seen in my years in the ministry. But listen, when a man is blessed and he tithes, and they tell me it's harder to tithe on $100. It's harder to tithe on $1,000 than it is on $100. Because tithe on $100, you give 10%. You tithe on $1,000, you're giving $100. They tell me it's harder yet to tithe on $100,000. But this man was like a businessman I met yesterday. He said, I would just love to go around and give seminars to young people. Our young people are in such financial straits today. They're in such financial straits today. I would love to go church to church and just teach seminars. He said, and the first thing I would teach our young people to do is, don't even ask any questions when you get money. Get 10% out of there. Give it to the Lord immediately. I mean, he was excited about it. He says, when I get an income, I don't even ask any questions about it. I just give 10% to the Lord immediately. Immediately. See, I'm not saying this for my benefit, because my salary's set. You could put $1 million in the offering today and I'd get the same as I got last week. And I love it that way. Then I can preach the truth of God's word so you can receive the reward for obedience to God's word. You look at people who have a giving spirit. There's just something about it. God blesses them. You look at somebody with a stingy spirit, you see something else. The enemy of your soul, of your well-being, of your good health, of the joy of the Lord in your personal life is a subtle enemy. That's the devil. And he knows that it's hard for a preacher to talk about giving and tithing, so he whispers things in the preacher's ear. Like, don't talk about it. They'll think you're complaining about your salary. Not this preacher. My answer my income is fixed, and so on. Okay? These are some old notes here and some things. Praise the Lord. Ah, beautiful. This is interesting. You know, this church used to be in debt. Wow. We're out of debt. We don't have a mortgage. Praise the Lord. When I came here, this church was in debt. And the buildings were run down. One of the first things I did when I came here was put in 30-some windows. 30 broken windows when we took this church. 30-some broken windows. 32, I think. We replaced those windows. I don't know how many of you remember, when I took this church, we had buckets on the pews to catch the water running into the roof. I don't know how many of you remember it, but the floors were not only wood, we had a carpet strip up the middle which looked more like a worn out gunny sack. It was green and whatever color the jute was underneath. I began to practice God's principles in the church. We went without things. We suffered a little bit. God started blessing. We got the bills paid off. We saved up enough money, $250,000, to build that fellowship hall. And now God is blessing us again. And we're starting to build again. God wants to do the same thing in your personal life. He wants you to be solvent. He wants you to have your bills paid. Not so you can enjoy life in the natural, in the flesh, but so that you can enjoy being a Christian. When you see somebody that's down and out, you can say, freely I have received, freely I'm going to give. 25 cents doesn't sound like much, but 25 cents made one girl's day that I met. They used to sell gas down here, you know, and I used to stop there because it was so convenient. And My gas bill was like maybe $3.01. You know, that's when gas was at war, or 18 cents a gallon and so on. That's when I could go to the cities and back on $3. Before they had the high gas mileage cars even. But anyway, in my old 1962 Comet, I got 27 miles to gallon. Figure it out anyway. But anyway, I stopped at the gas station, sent filled it up, $3.01. And I said to the girl, I suppose you're going to want the penny too. And she started to cry. She started to literally cry. She said, I forget how many. She said, you're the seventh one. You're the seventh one today that took advantage, that wants to take advantage of me. I said, you mean seven people robbed a penny from you? And I had a quarter in my pocket, you know. I just had a quarter there, and I reached out and I said, here, let seven more take advantage of you today. And she smiled and wiped her tears away, and she was so happy. But you know, I went away feeling good. Now, that was only 25 cents. I've given more than that away at a time. But I didn't have any more joy any more time giving $100 away than I've had giving that 25 cent away, because that was so much to her. What was she going to do with a 7 cent cut and pay? You know. I went on my way, and the scripture came to me. Freely you have received. Freely give. 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 You know, we got people that eat out in restaurants, and they're too tight to tie to a tip. Too tight to tip. We ain't going to tip anybody. Listen, if you can afford to eat out, you can afford to tip. If you can't afford to tip, stay home. Sounds hard? No. I don't know if you know it, but some of those people are practically living on those tips. They're feeding and clothing their children on those tips. And if you got so much money you can eat out, you got enough money to tip. If you can't tip, stay home. If you want to win anybody to the Lord, tip. I've talked to a few waitresses, and I heard one of them say, You know, some of those Christians that come in here, they're the worst tippers. Well, that just gives Christianity a bad name.
Brother Tim, that's not American lifestyle.
Well, when was eating out American lifestyle? You know? Agree or disagree, I said it. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, or that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Well, then I have here is tithing New Testament and scriptures on that. And I hope no one leaves here thinking that they're not saved if they don't give. You know, I like to get people in shape so they can give. I've told people, no, you don't give yet. You can tithe, but just hold back your gifts and hold back your alms now. Just tithe. I don't care if you're on welfare, tithe. I don't care if you've got two mites, tithe. Amen. Jesus never said, oh, that poor woman, that's all she had. She never should have given that. She won't be able to eat now. Jesus looked at that woman that gave all her living, and he looked on her with admiration. He looked on those others that gave on their abundance with disdain. Praise the Lord. We're not saved because we give. We're saved because he gave. And works are a result of salvation, not a means of salvation. But I think a lot of people are losing out on the joy of the Lord by not being hilarious givers. And that's what that word means. Hilarious. You just give with hilarity. Amen. It takes faith to give because mathematically you have less after you give. But according to God's mathematics and with God's blessing, you have more after you give. Now, you have to be wise in your giving. And I'm going to come into that, but not today. We won't have time. So I hope you come back again and hear what else I have to say so you can correct any feelings of error you have in your mind. Okay. Richard Smith. Remember him? Of the Smith family gospel singers? How many were here when they were here? Remember the dad was 60-some years old and he just learned to sing and play the bass and they were beautiful singers? Well, Richard Smith, he was the one that was the policeman. Remember? Handsome guy, and his brother was the big husky wrestler. Well, anyway, Richard Smith preached in Minneapolis one Saturday night, quote, people that go from church to church do not keep missionaries on the field. He preached that people ought to go to a church, settle down, pay their tithes, give their offerings, give their alms, be a blessing to that church, to their community, and be a blessing to the missionary program of the church. He said, people that go from church to church do not keep missionaries on the field. They do not keep church doors open. They just go about seeking and soaking up the blessings wherever they can get them. You cannot build on those people, he said, unquote. Sometimes I think that I have been cheating people by not teaching on tithing and giving more than I do. Somebody said Christianity is not a clenched fist, but an open hand. Dan Nybakken, remember him? How many remember Dan Nybakken? Good, some of you do. He came to our church here, Assemblies of God, man, and he was just drawn to this church, and we found an open door to witness to him about the oneness of the Godhead, and he was really, really interested. He said to his wife, Vernona, is it easier to give much from little or much from more? Much from more. That is why I don't give much to more. I guess what he was saying was, it's harder to give when you have a lot. If your income is $100,000 a year, it's hard to give $10,000 a year. If your income is $10,000 a year, it's not so hard to give $1,000 a year. Oh, when you give, you're obedient to the Word of God, and God responds to your faith in giving and blesses you more. You've read it in the Old Testament. He says, if you don't tithe, I'll cut holes in your pockets and your money will run out on the street. Somebody else will get it. That's what he says. It's in the Bible. If you don't tithe, I'll cut a hole in your pocket. That's what God said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Did you hear that? When you give to the poor, it's like you're lending unto the Lord. And then the Lord remembers that you have an account in heaven when you need help. God's program is fantastic. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? It goes on account in heaven. Whoso, Proverbs 21:13. You can shut that off, Brother Ben, if you want. Thank you. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. It's like James said, somebody comes, poor, and you say, God bless you, brother. Pat him on the back. Say, we'll pray for you. And send him on his way. Notwithstanding, you give him not food and clothing, water, those things that are necessary for his body. Ooh. James didn't like that. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And I've seen it myself where, right in this church, where two families with the very same circumstances, the same number of children, a lot of children, one family would tithe, and God would eventually, ultimately bless them. Another family, same circumstances, same number of children, said, I can't afford to tithe. And they've left this church now, so don't feel like I'm pointing at anybody. They haven't been here for years, but they're still in financial trouble. Still in financial trouble. Never learn to obey God. Never learn the benefit of tithing. We had a man in this church who had a very logical mind. He was a rational thinker. He made a deal with himself. He didn't believe in tithing when he came here. He said, I'll find out. I'll try it for a year, and I'll see what happens. And I wish he were here today to tell it to you. He said, I can't understand it. Even when my income was the same all that year, I had money left over, which I never had before. Things lasted longer. I had less breakdowns. Folks, you're going to find out the Word of God is true. In whatever area it speaks, you're going to find out the Word of God is true. Amen. You got to admit that 10% is fair to all. Because if a man earns $1,000 a week and he gives a $100 tithe, he's still got $900 left over. And if a man earns $1,000 a week, gives $100 tithes, he's got $900 left over. If a man earns $100 a week and gives $10, he gave 10 times less than the other fellow. But he gave proportionately the same. Right? He's got $90 left over. So the man who's making $1,000 a week shouldn't complain because he's giving more than somebody else. He still has more left over. God makes no mistakes. God is not the author of greed. I probably shouldn't be talking about things like big government, but you know, they have a 25% increase in salary across the board. This is a quote from years ago. Let's have a 25% increase in salary across the board. So the man making $100 gets a $25 a week raise, but the executive earning $500 a week gets a $125 a week raise. And so the gap broadens. The gap gets bigger. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Okay, but God's way is really something. 10% for everybody. Here's one, Brother Bennett, real quick. Brother Bennett made these transparencies for me. Here's a little article. I am not an economist by vocation, but it doesn't require genius to understand that credit buying has many Christians by the throat. Plastic money, the credit card, was meant to be a tool for budgeting, but to many it has become their financial downfall. Even some preaching brethren have extended themselves far beyond the limits of reason and cannot see relief in sight. This has got to work havoc on the ministry of souls. Tragically, preaching brethren have developed a reputation for being poor credit risks. This hurts everyone in the ministry and harms the reputation of the Lord's church. I've been in the stores and they say, you want to credit this? And I've had my fun, you know. And say, well, you want to buy this on credit? And I've had my fun, you know. And they say, hey, you don't have a credit rating. You know what I tell them? Thank God I've never needed one. I've always paid my bills. And I don't buy anything if I don't have the money to buy it with. I can wait. I can still walk. If I can't afford tires, gasoline, a new battery if I need it, I can still walk. And I don't have to go everywhere that I think I have to go. And if you don't have it, don't spend it. Paul still reminds, I was surprised to read this because I had already taught this when I found this article. Paul still reminds us to owe nobody anything, Romans 13:8. And Solomon continues to say, the borrower becomes the lender's slave, Proverbs 22:7. We've already had those up. And then I find this article. Yet Christians continue to get head over heels in debt and often take the bankruptcy way of escape. Why? Frankly, it is because so many of us have been gobbled up into the affluence trap. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress neighbors we don't like. And it becomes a vicious cycle. Every time we catch up with the Joneses, they refinance. Some of my brethren are reluctant to admit that they have been entrapped, but there are obvious ways for one to tell when he's in financial trouble. One surefire method is when one's monthly payments become larger than the monthly income. Another sign is when one finds himself paying monthly minimum on revolving credit accounts. Some companies encourage the creditor not to pay off the balance, but to continue paying the minimum. There is an underlying nemesis, which I think was a poorly chosen word, which encourages credit buying. It is the idea that even Christians sometimes accept that we must impress others. Quite frankly, I do not believe that generally people are impressed with our possessions. People don't love me because of the size of my house or the price of my car or whether or not I have a heated swimming pool. They love me for who I am and not for what I have. Some of us still don't understand this basic fact. Actually, neighbors resent us when we try to outdo them. It is the Jones syndrome that we perpetuate when we... Vanity is not a joy when one is threatened with the repossession of his Bible, his belongings. Emphasis mind. When we haven't yet, what we haven't yet learned is that we need belonging a great deal more than we need belongings. Besides, Jesus promised both in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Below are listed a few suggestions for those who have slipped precariously close to the economic edge. You can turn this thing around, and I insist that that's true. You can turn your financial problems around if you'll do it God's way, because God will supernaturally intervene when you obey his word and do it his way. But if you stubbornly resist his way, you're going to have your problems continue. You can get out of debt if you'll do it God's way, all the way, and deny yourself and suffer a little bit until you get out of debt. Listen, number one, he says, live within your income. And number two, he says, give God the first of all your income. He's got that backwards. Number one, give God the first of all your income. Then live within your income. Our children should remember this. We couldn't afford a piggy bank for them, so we just took an old little old box and we cut a hole in the top of it. And when they earned a dime, they put one penny in that box. And when God blessed them and they earned 50 cents for babysitting, they put a nickel in the box. My children are both good in mathematics today. They learned percentages when they were young. 10%. Stop credit buying if it has become a big problem. I take the if out and say stop credit buying because it causes big problems. Cut up credit cards. Never buy on impulse. Make a habit of purchasing only necessities. I have another way of saying that. We'll get into that next week. Always plan ahead for luxury spending. Don't do like the bank says. Enjoy a great vacation this summer. Come and see us first. No, I agree with this man. Plan ahead for luxury spending. Don't plan on RCU for your vacation. Buy on sale. And I like this. I like to buy on sale. Don't you? Don't you like sales? Wouldn't you like to look at a new car for $16,000 on sale for $5,000? You'd probably buy two of them. We love to buy things on sale. But here's one thing. Have you ever gone to a sale and you didn't have the money even to buy the sale item? I said to somebody with me, I just can't afford it right now. Well, it's on sale now. You better buy it now. It's a better deal than you'll ever get. And by the time you have the money, the price will be up. Wait a minute. I agree with this man. This is what I said to my partner. Buy on sale. Oh, you better buy it today. It's on sale. I said, wait a minute. I said, it'll go on sale again. It'll go on sale. Don't let them tell you, last chance. You ever get a catalog? Spring sale, summer sale, fall sale, winter sale. Those sales are as sure as the seasons. There'll be another sale. This man puts it this way, buy on sale. He says everything will eventually be on sale if you're willing to wait long enough. You can go barefoot in the interim between the time your shoes wear completely out until they go on sale again. Practical tips. Okay, forget about impressing your friends. Instead of always focusing on those who have more than you, think of those who have less. I've done the same thing. When I worked down yonder here, my wife and I would get acquainted with some of the people. They want us to come to their house, and they'd have better houses than we had, and nicer furniture than we had, and a newer car than we had. And yeah, I got in, you know, with some of the people down there, and ownership and so on. They want me to come to their house. And we did. And so they'll show you the house. You look around, you start feeling this thing. Boy, I wish I had that. I said to my wife, let's break off this friendship. Let's not go back there. You know what I did? I found us some people who had less than we had. And we started fellowshipping with them so we could give them something. In fact, I'll tell you a true story. We left the well-to-do, and my one good friend that had us in his house died, and you can be sure he was a millionaire. I mean, his wife is still alive. I know what I'm talking about. Okay? So what did we do? We left their friendship, and we found some friends who were worse off than we were. They had trouble in their life. You know what I did? I went to Luther Hospital and paid his hospital bill. Now, instead of going to the wealthy person's house and saying, man, honey, we got to save up some money. Let's go see if the bank will float us a loan, and we'll have that kind of furniture, and we'll have a nice house like that. We'll get a new car, whatever. I didn't do that. I found some poor people that were struggling. And I found out, hey, I'm blessed. I am really blessed. And so I took some of my little bit of money, and I took it down and paid his hospital bill. He loved me. He really loved me. We got to witness to him. Number 10, seek kingdom interests above all else. Let me close with this. Don't get discouraged. There is a way out of debt. The way out is the way up. God knows the temptation to spend more than can be paid back. Listen to the Lord instead of loaning institutions. This one now is hilarious. I can't believe it. I mean, one sign on a loan company window read, come in. Now you can borrow enough money to get completely out of debt. I can't believe it. He says, don't believe it. Be thrifty, spend wisely, and remember, anybody who thinks he has money to burn will always be able to find someone to tend the fire. Oh, let's stand.